All right, continuing now with the conversation. My next guest is an associate director of the Community Mental Health Association of Michigan, Alan Bolter. The House and Senate have proposed a budget that increases for mental health services and the growing need for mental health resources. That partially in light of the ongoing opioid crisis affecting, of course, not just Michigan, but across the country. Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Congratulations on a mental health advocate being named as a top Michigan lobbyist. That's good news, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's one of those, you know, certainly an honor to be recognized. And, you know, when, you know, legislators, the governor, when they put together their priority list, you know, obviously mental health, behavioral health issues really isn't at the forefront of their priority list or even on the list at all, for that matter. So, you know, I think this recognition certainly shows that we're, you know, making some positive steps in the right direction and getting the right attention.
Well, there you go. When you look at the challenges for mental health, obviously there are many. And we see enough examples in the headlines every day that, you know, should get our attention. But when you look at the needs of mental health for the population, whether it's Michigan, across the country, or just in your backyard, what are your priorities?
You know, really, it starts at the funding level. A lot of what we do at our state association, we represent the 46 public mental health agencies that represent all 83 counties in Michigan, and really advocate to provide adequate funding to provide those services. So the bulk of the services that my members provide, being public entities, is Medicaid, and that's about 95% of their budget. So, you know, and they provide services to roughly 350,000 people across the state. But those 350,000 people probably touch around 2 million people statewide when you think of family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors, things of that nature. So it is, you know, it does have a far-reaching effect across the state.
So obviously when we hear about mental health issues here in Michigan and you look at the opioid crisis, it becomes very, very obvious to some people, but some people still don't see it. When you look at what we need to do here in the state, what would you think we should do? Where should we be spending our resources? Where should we be building new facilities? Should we be creating more opportunities in local mental health operations? Where do we look first?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good question. You know, so the governor, you know, announced a $5 million grant to look at when people show up in emergency departments, jails, that present with an opioid addiction, that they would get some level of treatment before they leave those facilities. MAT treatment, medication-assisted treatment, which is really a combination of medication, either through a pill you take on a daily basis, or they have some more long-acting pills or injectables that last 60 days, 90 days, and then along with therapy. So keep in mind, you know, now the science has proven that an addiction to drugs like opioids is a chronic health disease, similar to diabetes or something along those lines on the physical health care side. So this requires lifelong management. So when we look at, you know, providing services, you know, where do we want to start? I mean, I think what the governor has proposed with this $5 million grant is a good start. But
yeah, but in another part of that, Alan, in fairness, the governor also, I believe, brought to a stop a mental health facility that was under construction in Tuscola County, $3 million already spent, and discontinued that construction. Or am I mistaken about that?
No, you're correct. So under the Snyder administration, there are five state hospitals that remain, and they house a little under 700 people. The Governor Snyder proposed rebuilding one of those, which is located in Carroll, Michigan, kind of in the thumb area, which would add, it would include about a 200-bed facility there. So Carroll is, you know, kind of off the grid, not exactly in a metropolitan area. So I think what Governor Whitmer suggested was, well, let's kind of re-look at, you know, is that the best place to locate that facility? I don't believe that she wants to end that all together. I think the debate is, where is that new facility going to be located?
Well, you know, with $3 million already spent, it seems highly unusual in a time of tight sources that, you know, that you would stop that construction and point your, you know, you've already spent $3 million. Why would you turn around in the middle of the stream?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I mean, that's, you know, my members could certainly find use for $3 million putting into community-based programs. That is for certain.
Right. So, all right. So where do we go from here? We've got Alan Bolter here on the line, Associate Director of the Community Mental Health Association of Michigan. Obviously, you know, the opioid crisis isn't going anywhere. The needs aren't going anywhere. The fact that we have to fund these things, that, and you balance that against everything else we need, Alan, I think you get it. You sound like a common sense sort of guy. There's so many needs and demands out there, but how do you balance it? Where do we go from here?
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, we would obviously argue that, you know, the earlier, the further upstream you can, you know, detect that someone is in crisis, that someone is struggling with an addiction, the much less costly it's going to be downstream. You know, we did a study several years ago with the Anderson Economic Group that showed early intervention roughly costs $700-$800 versus if someone is in crisis, you know, we're spending upwards of $15,000 to $20,000 per treatment. So, you know, we would certainly argue that, you know, early intervention is key, but unfortunately with, you know, various cutbacks and lack of investment in mental health services over the years, that just isn't possible.
Let me ask you this, because I just came back from Florida. I find myself in Orlando a fair amount of time for different reasons, covering stories and doing shows and so forth. And something they have in Florida is called the Baker Act. I'm sure you've heard of that. Baker Act, the police can, you know, detain somebody for 24 or 48 hours before they decide, you know, if they're mentally fit to go back. Does Michigan need something like that? I'll give you this. You got about a minute here. What do you think of that?
Sure. Now, we do have, you know, crisis centers, pre-screening units, things of that nature where, you know, law enforcement can bring someone, they can be assessed whether they need, you know, to be placed in an inpatient setting. You know, and there are some limited crisis centers, but Michigan's law here is a little bit outdated on what kind of tools law enforcement and our mental health professionals have to use in that type of situation. And we're actually looking at some changes to that.
Well, yeah, because in Florida, you know, the police come along, they just say, well, we're going to Baker Act you. I mean, it's simple. It's been going on for 25 years, maybe more, and it just seems like a part of what they do. If they see somebody that's having a challenge or a problem or not getting where they need to be, well, then they just take them in. And maybe we need that, maybe we don't. Anyhow, Alan, greatly appreciate it. Great conversation. Alan Bolter, Associate Director of the Community Mental Health Association here in Michigan. Really well done, and thank you for being here.
Yep, thank you, Steve. Have a good day.
I'm sure we'll talk again. There you have it. These are important issues that don't go anywhere. And obviously, with suicides increasing, certainly in certain brackets and demographics, and you have the opioid challenges, mental health issues need to be a top priority, 41 after.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Fillets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, parents, do kids think you're out of touch because of the way you dress?
Yes.
Well, say hello to instant style with Fashion On. Just spray Fashion On whatever you're wearing and look cool in an instant. Turn orthopedic shoes into vintage high tops, pleated khakis into skinny jeans. Even clip-on ties become fly gold chains. Just spray, let it dry, and presto.
What about my fanny pack?
You mean your hip MP3 player?
Wow.
But what about my bifocals?
You mean your hot pink shutter shades?
Hey, I can't see.
But your kids can see you, and trust me, they see fashion.
Thanks, Fashion On.
Fashion On is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.